This morning, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I have about 15 verses I'd like to read to you or with you from John chapter 3. Possibly you're familiar with this little passage, and it deals with a man named Nicodemus. We're going to be talking about him this morning in our second message in this little series entitled Moments with the Master. And today we're going to be seeing a defining moment in the life of Nicodemus. And maybe it would be the same for you today. It's a defining moment in your life that you're here and that God wants to say some things to you through what's going to be read or maybe what's going to be spoken. I have felt again, as I typically do, great challenge this week in bringing this message to you. And the challenge is not because I'm not prepared, and it's not because I've not prayed. It's just because the topic is in the culture of our day, and the culture of, and the topic of that first century maybe is a little bit different. He didn't get it, and you'll see what I mean this morning, and maybe you don't either. And we talk about being born again. Maybe it's something that's very foreign to you. I don't know. But it brings about a great challenge to me. And the biblical language is wonderful, and it teaches us a lot. But we're going to be talking about the new birth, being born again. And there may be some here this morning, or listening this morning, or this week they will listen. And there's a need of being born again, but it makes no sense to you about how you could or can be born again. And maybe you, like Nicodemus, will say, well, do I enter? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? And the answer is no need for that, because you've got the physical birth. Now you need a spiritual birth, a birth from above, if you will. But the language of the Bible and the language of the church today, without the full grasping of the meaning of what God was saying and what Christ was teaching, is something that is a challenge to me right now. Going to heaven. You ever talk to someone that's just flat out said, I ain't going. I don't even want to go. And there's CIC several saying, yeah. But most believe they are going. Most people believe that they will be in heaven one day. I think there are those that do not. I was talking with someone a few weeks ago when we were in Chicago. We were in Libertyville, Illinois, to be exact. I was browsing through Barnes and Noble, and just killing some time with Amy and Karen, and wasn't looking for anything to read particularly, but a book title caught my attention. And the title of the book was, I Hope There's Beer in Heaven. I picked it up and I started to read just to see what he was even talking about. And I put it back down. I didn't care. I hope there's beer in heaven. But I take it that the author is saying, when I die, I hope my buddies and I will just belly up to the bar for all eternity and enjoy a brew together. Isn't that kind of what you think? I mean, how foolish can a person get concerning eternity? Would you agree with me this morning, and I'll give you some scenarios. We'll read this in just a second. You can trust Christ as your personal Savior and have Him in your heart. And you can hear me speak on kindness and gentleness and love. And yet you can be the most rude individual in the whole world and still go to heaven? Yes or no? Yeah, I heard somebody say yeah. Well, why not? You can accept Jesus as your personal Savior and decide that you will be stingy with your money. Never give a dime to the church, to the Lord's work. Can you still go to heaven? think so. I can talk to you about baptism and the importance of it. And you can trust Christ as your Savior and never be baptized. And based on the thief on the cross next to Christ, can you still go to heaven? I don't recommend that, but it's true. But, you knew there was a but coming, didn't you? But, the subject today is an absolute. You cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ. You can be as stingy as you want to be. If you choose to be a rude individual, so be it. If you choose not to be baptized, and I think you're making a great mistake, you can still go to heaven. But you can't go without Jesus. You have to be born again. And that's the imperative of this. You must be born again. And the awesome responsibility that I feel this morning in sharing this message with you and addressing people who are eternity bound is just overwhelming a bit today. And so I hope that you'll pray, not only for me, but to that one or those that may be here today and without Jesus Christ as their Savior. Trusting Him is the most important decision you will ever make in this lifetime. It really is. If you can this morning, would you stand with me? And we'll read these 15 verses from the third chapter. Listen to the dialogue a bit, and you'll see, I think, the challenge that I have before you. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, born the first time, and you need a second birth spiritually, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from, where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept your testimony. If I told you earthly things and you believe them, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into the heaven but he who ascended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life." And that's what you need today if you do not have it, eternal life. Thank you very much for standing, and we read God's Word each Sunday, and I do appreciate very much you doing that. I have three things this morning concerning being born again and moments with a master that I'd like to share with you. And I hope that you will just give attention and prayerful thoughts to what I'm about to say And I hope God will bless every life today, born again or not, that's listening and will listen today. I see, first of all, in verses 1, 2, and 3, what I'm going to call the must, M-U-S-T, the must of the new birth. There is a must here. Got to be born again. There was a man by the name of George Whitfield. Some of you will recognize that name, you who have been to college and seminaries and things. George Whitfield was kind of a famous young man years and years ago that grew to love the Lord. But in his early days, he was struggling a bit about some things concerning religion. Whitfield was dabbling in ministry. He even felt that maybe God was calling him into the ministry even before he was saved. He just thought that. So one day he ran into a man by the name of John Wesley. You will recognize that name, most of you, I think. And Wesley and Whitfield had a conversation about God and religion and things. And Wesley convinced Whitfield of his need of Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. George Whitfield had never made that profession of faith. And Wesley was responsible for leading him to the Lord. Whitfield realized he needed the new birth and was saved. And not long after he was saved, he surrendered to the ministry. And that was a good thing. He didn't live all that much longer. Died in his early 30s. Or in his 30s. I don't know if they were early or late, but in his 30s. But he had preached about 2,500 different messages during that brief time he was in the ministry. The majority of the messages he preached was on the subject of the new birth. Isn't that interesting? About two-thirds of his messages were on the new birth and of being born again. And one day, someone that had listened to him and had maybe heard him more than once asked Whitfield, "Why do you preach on being born again over and over and over?" And so the biographer writes and says, Whitfield was kind of caught back a little bit. He thought a minute. So he scratched his head. And he said, "The only thing I can tell you is that men must be born again to see heaven. And that's why I preach about it. You must be born again." And that's an absolute truth. And he knew it. And Wesley knew it. And you know it. And if you don't know it, you need to get that in your head and mind and heart. You need to be born again. You can go to heaven and you can lay aside some things in this world, but you cannot go without Jesus Christ. The translation here is very important, I think. In verse 3, there's a word, I say translation, there's a word here I'd like you to look at. It's right at the toward the end of verse 3. He said, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again." That word "again" is an important word. It can mean a couple of things. It can mean that you must be born anew. And that's kind of the same thought, anew. It can mean that you must be born from above. But you've got to do it again. Got to be born again is what he's saying. Whether it's anew or from above. You will never become a new person in Christ Jesus without ever being born again. And that's the whole key to it. You've got to be born anew. You've got to be born from above. You've got to be born again if you're going to spend eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the must of the new birth. And there is the mystery of the new birth. Second. There's a mystery about this. It's about our own humanity. My humanity says, I'm not a bad guy. My humanity could say, I'm doing the best I can. My humanity, though I don't understand everything there may be about my humanity, it says, I can do some good things for some people, and maybe that will earn me a few moments in the presence of God. Some kind of notion like that. But God said there is none righteous, no, not one. Doesn't make any difference who you are, where you've been, or what you're doing. There's none righteous, no, not one. It also says that all have sinned. Missed the mark is the word there. And they've fallen short of the glory of God. Would you consider just for a moment that you could live for 1,000 years and that you could spend those 1,000 years serving people, maybe even being a religious individual, 1,000 years doing everything that you could that you know that's right. But if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, 1,000 years of righteousness will not buy you 1 second in heaven. You have to be born again. And he says, you're performing miracles, Jesus. We know that you're from God. I'd like to see you do that. I'd like to watch that. My very nature is saying to me, says Nicodemus, that I know you're somebody that is from maybe someplace else, maybe from God. And this religious leader came to Jesus, and he came by night, seeking him and some advice, if you will. I want to know how you're able to do these things. You're performing miracles. How can you do that without God being with you? And he says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God. Notice the plural there. We know that you've come from God. He was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Jesus didn't say, I'll tell you something. Nicodemus, do you know you're the only one that's pointed that out? That I'm from God? And you're pretty perceptive. I'm proud of you. That's good. Nobody else has even mentioned this. Jesus didn't say, if you had been with me here the other day, I gave a guy who was blind his eyesight back. And if you had seen that, and you think I did that, if you'd like my autograph, I'll be glad to give it to you. He didn't say that. He's talking to him about his need. What did he say? After Nicodemus pays him this compliment, Jesus says, if you want to see heaven, you have to be born again, or you will not see the kingdom of God. You're talking to me about miracles. You're the one that needs a miracle, Nicodemus. You need the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of grace coming into your life and changing your heart forever. The ruler of the Jews, you don't need a teacher. I am the Messiah. Don't you recognize me? You're a leader here. You're a religious fanatic leader, for crying out loud. And you can't see that I am the Messiah? And the answer was no. Well, he says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. And here was a religious man. And he knew probably more about religion and his group of people, the Pharisees, than anyone else. And Christ was saying, it's not knowledge about religion that you need. You need a relationship with me if you're going to see heaven. You must be born again. And so the mystery comes about in two different ways. The mystery is, how can a man be born again, Jesus? That's the challenge I have felt this week. That's the challenge that maybe you're having, that you have to be born again. You have been born once, but you have to be born twice in order to see the kingdom of God. How is it possible, Jesus? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, listen, flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. You got to be born again. You had the first birth, but you need the second birth. It's not works of righteousness that you can do like you think you can. You've got to be born again. Don't you get it, Nicodemus? You're a ruler of the Jews, but you need to be born again. And the mystery of the new birth is wrapped up in that statement that Christ made to him about being born again. And Jesus compares being saved to the physical birth. Being born again. You get that, but you don't get being born a second time. New life that can come to you because someone is going to suffer for you. Someone's going to die for you on the cross. Someone's going to suffer so that you can have a new life and a new life in Christ. It dawned on me, and I don't mean to get too terribly goofy here, I guess. A good theological word, goofy. Because people can be goofy. I can be goofy. But think about this, ladies. Those of you who have given birth. Now, there's exceptions to this, and I get that. But you suffered to bring life into your family. Now, that goes back to the curse in the garden, right? The suffering in childbirth. That's what it was told to Eve. And I understand that there are things and procedures and ways today that maybe that can be, that they can help alleviate the suffering. But every mom in this room bore a child in this suffering. And it's true of what Christ was going to do. He's going to die. He's going to suffer so that I and you can have eternal life. And the new birth represents a brand new start. A new start in God. A new start in Christ. No baby is born with a past. Right or wrong? No baby is born with a past. But it's going to have a future. That's for sure. And he's going to have a future because she's had a physical birth. And if he has an eternal future with God, there's got to be a second birth involved. And we know that from reading the next verse that we didn't read this morning, that 16th verse, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Notice it didn't say die. It says perish but have eternal life. A new birth represents a new start, one that God gives. And so he's comparing a birth, being born once and being born a second time. And he's talking to Nicodemus about being born again. The challenge that I feel this morning. And I don't know if I'm making any sense about it. So let's move on to something else. Let's move on, not from the birthing illustration, but to the breeze illustration, the wind, if you will. And Jesus moves on from that to the wind in verse 8. And he says to him, Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born again. He's talking about the fact that you can't control the wind. Do you remember what happened? Almost a year ago, it will be a year ago this month, here in the Twin Cities, Little Rock and North Little Rock and Jacksonville, things blew in here. I was watching the news, and they kept saying, "I don't know what this means." There's a hook. He said, "There's a hook here," and it was out off the Chenal Mountain back behind that way, and it's moving toward the Little Rock area. And then all of a sudden, whoever I was watching, I think it was Todd Jacoby, and he said, "If you're in West Little Rock, you need to take shelter immediately. There's got to be a tornado on the ground." And sure enough, there was. And that tornado passed through Little Rock, crossed the river, through Burns Park, northwest Levy, down Kill, Jacksonville, and on out until it was gone. We could see the results of the wind, could we not? The thing that Christ is saying to him, whether he got it or not, is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to change your heart. The Holy Spirit wants to come into your mind and change your thinking so that you can be born again. And you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you most certainly can see the results of the Holy Spirit. And we don't necessarily see the wind, and we can see the tornado. I get that. If it's whipping around, it's picked up debris or whatever, and we can see that twirling and changing situation. But you can't see it, you see. And that's what he said. You can see the results of it later. And that's what happens. That there should be some results. I can't see God. I can't see the Holy Spirit working in your heart. I don't even know if he is or not. But you do. And if you'll give your heart to Christ, then we should be able to see some results of that experience with Jesus on beyond that moment in time that you were saved. That's all I'm saying this morning. I can tell the wind is blowing if I see right now the limbs moving. And before long, it's going to be what? The leaves rustling. I can see that. I can feel the breeze as it blows on my face. I know about the wind, and I understand about the new birth. I'm wondering if you understand about the new birth, about the need of trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you feel the Holy Spirit working and leading and directing and convicting, something is about to happen. Let it happen. Let God be God in your life and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I'll tell you something. I know that's a fact because I have felt that myself. And you do too. You have trusted Christ. You have felt it yourself. So there is the must. You've got to be born again. There's this mystery that Christ was explaining to Nicodemus. And there is the meaning, verses 9 through 15. There is the meaning of the new birth. Two people were having a conversation. One is Nicodemus, a sinner. The other is Jesus, the Savior. And they're having a conversation about eternal life. And that's what was going on. When a sinner comes to the Savior, a new birth can take place. It's a neat thing to even think about. Now, I'm going to ask you something. We'll give you an illustration here, and we're going to be done in just a second. Think with me for just a moment. Are you here this morning, and you are like Nicodemus? In that, you know, right now, you know that you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I think it's a fair question to ask. In light of the text, in light of what's been said, you are like Nicodemus. You know you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. But the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing in your mind and blowing in your heart. He's wanting to draw you to Christ. Okay? Maybe you don't know that you are like Nicodemus. Maybe you don't know that you're lost today. Maybe you are like Nicodemus in this way. You're a religious person. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He believed he had all his boards nailed down tight and shut, and that things were right between him and God. Maybe you are like Nicodemus today in that you are a religious individual and you have for maybe the first time in all of your life come to realize you have never had the new birth. Maybe so. Satan could care less whether you go to hell from a pew or a bar somewhere. Bellied up with a book, I hope there's beer in hell. He could care less. Religious people die and go to hell every second of the day, I suppose. For sure, every day. Are you like Nicodemus this morning? Do you know, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, that you've never trusted Christ? Or are you like Nicodemus in that you are a religious person. You're a good person. You come to church. You've been here. You've done this. You've done that. But you never have asked Jesus into your heart and your life. Is the wind blowing across your mind this morning? Is the wind blowing in your heart today? Listen, it's not a happenstance. God, the Holy Spirit, is pulling you in the direction of Jesus, and He's wanting you to come to full understanding that without Him, there's no hope whatsoever, and that you're lost. And then, I think there's some here today who are certain, and they know that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Therefore, we can rejoice, can't we? We can leave with a song on our hearts and a praise on our lips. Jesus Christ is our Savior. I tell you something, it's the biggest, the greatest, the most important decision you will ever make in all of your life. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have Christ and be the most rude individual in the world that people will just shun and just soon not be around you and still go to heaven. You can be the most stingy individual that God ever created. But you have Christ in your heart and you can still go to heaven. But make no mistake about this. You cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You must be born again. You remember the little song we used to sing? Bible school. I don't know if y'all even went to Bible school. I had to go. Have a choice. But it was fun. Get Kool-Aid and go outside breaks and things. So, one of the songs we were taught was, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Y'all remember that one? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And then one said, if you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. And there was a third one, if you're happy and you know it, stand up, I guess. And if you're happy and you know it, do all three. You know, all these things, up and down and clapping and carrying on. Sometimes I think there should have been a fourth verse to that. And that was this, if you're happy and you're stingy and you're rude and you can go to heaven, why don't you just sit down and be quiet? I made that up this week, by the way. Listen, are you happy and do you know it? And it's because Jesus is in your heart? Say amen. Amen. And if he is not there, get him there before it's too late. He wants to be there. He wants you as a son or a daughter.